Bibles or your iPhones or your Androids or whatever you're using to 1 John chapter 3. We'll start there. While you're doing that, you know, Sam ought to be taking a Sunday preaching here. I don't know what the issue is, but I'll call him and hassle him, you know, a little bit. He doesn't listen to me just like anybody else. Nobody else listens to me, so why would Sam? So I appreciate that. Thought I'd update you quick. So Bonnie's mother's been home, and Bonnie spent a week and a half there, and saw improvement, and so, you know, things are pretty good there. And had the opportunity to get an update on Jessica, and saw her three kids. I tell you, I wish I could bring those three kids. Her twins are just hilarious. They're just so funny, and they're precious little ones. And but she seems, I mean, they have her on this new chemo and whatever, and there were lesions on her, you know, skin and this sort of thing. They seem to be lessening and healing and, you know, slowing down the cancer, so there seems to be some improvement. You know what doctors shouldn't tell you, though? Doctors shouldn't say, you know, that you'll never be rid of cancer. Why do they tell you that? You know, there's a mindset that you take into this. I don't think I can quote him correctly, but Les Brown, who's a motivational speaker, had prostate cancer a long time ago, and doctor, you know, pronounced it wouldn't be able to be healed and this sort of thing. And he says, doctors should never tell you that. Doctors should tell you that their ability or to heal you has terminated. Not that you've terminated, but their ability has terminated. God's not terminated, and you know, God's still in this. So I'd encourage you to keep praying for Jessica, and that would be much appreciated. But these, if you just see these three little ones, they're just, they're amazing. They're just really funny. You just laugh the whole time. They're a bundle of energy. They just talk from the moment they walk in the house. They just talk. It's funny. Well, let's start here today at verse 21. Of chapter 3, 1 John 3, 21. You just stay in 1 John. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Now, I don't know, we could have a Bible study on this and try to figure out what he just said. And we could probably go over this and maybe easily dismiss that he doesn't really mean this. But if we are to take our Bibles and just read them and accept it as the Word of God and what God proclaims to us, he just said that if our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. I like just accepting it. There's a word in there, there's a couple words, but one of the words that is really huge in that verse is the word confidence. I mean, isn't that what we seek? Confidence. Or if we thought about it for a while, isn't that what we lack? Is confidence. Confidence that God is there. Confidence that God hears. Confidence that God answers, that God responds. Confidence that prayer changes things, that it makes things happen, that it's more than a religious exercise. It's confidence in those things, is it not? Don't we want confidence that all that actually is true and happens? I mean, what we've been seeking in two sermons that I thought would be one for the beginning of the year, so I don't know how you get through a chapter a week, but in any case, I'd get through a chapter in maybe 3 months. But in any case, what we've been doing the last two sermons is we've been focused on prayer, and very specifically, effective prayer. I mean, we've been talking about we want prayer like Elijah. We want prayer like Samuel. We want prayer like Paul. We want prayer like Abraham. We want prayer like Jesus. I mean, he lived and breathed prayer. That's what we want. That's what I seek. And so what I've done in two sermons is try to put out some pieces to somehow get to this effective prayer. I mean, I'm doing this for me. You know, you're just coming along and you take what you want. You know, but I'm just being honest. I don't have all the answers. I'm looking. You know, I'm in search of what they had. I don't want it to be just an exercise. And so what we've said so far, real quick, is that in putting some pieces together to get us on the path, we believe, you know, it is to believe that prayer is a power. I mean, that's, we got to believe that it's a power. We got to somehow experience what we see. We see that prayer makes things happen. I mean, we talk about it. We talk about Elijah and Samuel, and these with prayer made stuff happen. Just did. And there is given to us the ministry and the work of prayer, and it, we're told in the scripture, it wasn't just for them. It was for us. That we're just like them. Or they're just like us, however you want to think about it. So there's no difference there. And we've discussed the fact that it's okay to have desires and plans. In the last sermon I said petitions, which is a little bit more formal, because I gave you something that I know Jennifer's making use of, that I don't know how to know where God is taking me in the answers to my prayers and what I'm serious about praying about unless I have it written down. Because you'll forget. Didn't you say we've got to be reminded of things? If you don't write it down, you'll forget. Or if you're not looking at it on a daily, weekly basis, you know, whatever your petitions are, and seeing how that is developing, how do you know what God is doing? I mean, I'm interested in Jessica's update. I want to know. Where are we with this? As well as some other things that are on my mind. And so Jesus says there's a secret place that you can go. Not that we can't pray anywhere. We can. But there is a secret place. There is a room that you can shut the door and shut everything out and make it real clear what you're asking God for and what you're discussing with him and what he's speaking to you. That's the thoughts and promptings, and you can receive those throughout the day. And you can get updates on what's on your plans and desires and petitions and be able to record. I can record something on my sheet about Jessica and some other things. I need to see that. So I see, you know, where are we going here with this? We've learned that God is responsive to those who are seeking him. Those whose hearts are directed in that way, and that's what we are today. And we said the last time that all of this flows from a relationship to him. Scriptures that we know. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. It's pretty wise to start our day recognizing that Jesus is where all the things that I think about and desire and I'm working on and what's before me, and today all of it's contained there. All of it is right in him. I got to start there, don't you? I got to start there. We got to abide. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, we think we're accomplishing something, but don't you want to accomplish great things? You know, don't you want to make your day a little bit smoother, easier? Don't you want to be able to get through your day and looking and understanding that, wow, God did this and he did this. And all these little things are good things that you're recognizing God is doing throughout your day. They're all good. They're good stuff that you recognize. Just a word about personal relationship. I wrote about that in my book, Personal Relationship. And I had told you that I had picked up an old book out of my library that I'd read a long time ago. And I had some places underlined and that sort of thing. But it's taken me however many years to figure some of this out. You know, while I read it, I didn't really absorb it. And in my book, I talked about a personal relationship and how do you have that with somebody that's invisible in this sense, being Jesus and that sort of thing. Well, you got to live in awareness. And it was funny, I read this past week in this book, The Pursuit of God. He talked about, well, you got to live in awareness. I said, well, I already wrote that. He wrote it before me. In any case, you got to live in awareness. That's what a personal relationship is. You live in awareness. Even if you're apart for a week and a half, you get up every day saying, I wish you were here. You know, this can of soup's getting old. So I mean, you know, you live in awareness even with that. But a personal relationship, you know, we're talking here a little bit about confidence. Well, confidence is something that you have when you have an intimate relationship with somebody or you're bonded to somebody. You know, you're sort of on the same wavelength or the same frequency or the same vibration, you know, that you're moving together, you know, and I know it's a word, but it's really a word we ought to make more, you know, you have the same vibe, you know, there's this invisible world around us filled with vibration. There's vibrations in this room that are incredible. And if you just tune in, they reveal themselves to you. So somebody can dial my number. Isn't it amazing? Somebody can dial my number and that phone will ring. And they could be in California. That's pretty amazing. That vibration's already existing in here. I mean, it's incredible the world we live in. But to live in intimacy or a personal relationship to Jesus is to be on the same vibe. And if you're on the same vibe, there's an element of confidence that comes with that, is there not? Confidence. So back to the verse for a moment. You didn't think we were going to get there. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God in whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. Who do those words remind you of? Where have you heard those words before? Well, the same writer recorded Jesus saying, I tell you the truth that you'll do greater works than me. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything, I will do it. That's in John chapter 14. He's just, you know what I got in Bible college whenever we studied that? Well, that was spoken to the apostles. You know, Jesus, the upper room, spoke to the apostles. You know, whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified. That was for the apostles. Well, when John writes it, it wasn't for the apostles. Right? He's writing it for them. These people. I think that's part of our problem. We think that all this that God has said was for whatever, and it's like a history book, and we're just to think about it, you know, and slug on through here till we get to heaven, which we'll talk about in my book. which is going to get terrible reviews. "Whatever you ask, I will do," he said. "Whatever we ask, we receive from him," John said. That must have been something John was experiencing. He didn't say that whatever I ask of him, I receive, you know, and good luck to you people. He didn't say that. He's including himself with them. There was something what Chris did today. Hold on a second. Darn it. I'm sorry. Something you read today, Chris, and I, honestly, it just grabbed me, and I thought, okay, I'm going to use that today. Now I can't find it. Where Peter says somewhere in there, go look for it, Chris, while I'm doing this, that these people that he's writing to obtained the same thing as the apostles. Find that, Chris, somewhere there. You don't have to listen to the rest of this. Just find that. What I'm trying to get to is this Bible wasn't written for special people of faith apart from you and me. It was written for all of us. And to pray like that can only arise from confidence. Yeah, I guess that would be the first thing I'd say about confidence is that verse was written for you, was written for me, so that we would have confidence. You know, what was it?
2 Peter 1:18.
What's it say?
We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on this sacred mountain. But I only have that one verse open because I'm in Bible Hub. 2 Peter 1:18.
Yeah, he says somewhere there that oh, yeah, there it is. Go ahead, Chris.
To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours.
Yeah, mine says to those who obtained a faith of equal standing. That's how mine is written. You know, in Peter, you know, he's writing to these people, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours. I get tired of the fact that we're reading about these people and we're excluding ourselves. That doesn't make any sense to me. That it's for us. Confidence. It's sort of a theme, and I got to be careful here. It's sort of a theme in 1 John. I want you to look at a couple other verses here. Chapter 2. Just so you see this. I got to be careful because I'd end up preaching on 1 John, and that'll be for a whole year. You know, but chapter 2, verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming." I just wanted you to see the word confidence. Chapter 4, verse 17. "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment." Chapter 5, verse 14, which is a lot of these we ought to be memorized. "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." That's another sermon. But he says, this is the confidence. It is the word confidence in here. And if you go throughout the letter of 1 John, you'll notice the word know over and over and over. Throughout the whole letter is the word know. We're not living in darkness. We're not living dimly. We're not living without information. We're not living without knowing. We're not. That's what he's saying to these Christians. You know. You can have confidence in your life. You don't have to live aimlessly. You don't have to live blind. You don't need all of that. Back to the verse that we're interested in. Look how it started. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us. We could sit in a Bible study, and I know the first thing that will come up in that Bible study. Do you know the first thing that would come up in that Bible study? Unless you were educated by me. Somebody is going to raise that the heart is deceitful above all things. Somebody's going to raise that. He's talking about if our heart doesn't condemn us. Well, if we read that verse, obviously we don't want to have a heart that condemns us, but somewhere along the line, we got this information that our heart is deceitful. So how are you going to do that? How are you going to have a heart that you have confidence in if your heart is deceitful? And so then we'd kick that around for 20 minutes until the clock runs out, then we go home. That's what we will do in a Bible study. I'm just telling you, that's what will happen. I used to be a preacher and hold Bible studies and that sort of thing. That's the first challenge. The first challenge to this verse is that old thing that our heart is deceitful. Second challenge to our heart not condemning us is Satan himself. He's an accuser. There's this little voice that starts ringing, you know, and accusing you and basically, you know, assaulting what you believe and shaking your confidence. Satan's involved. Then there's the people around you. I mean, you know, that no good person, that person will never amount to anything. You'll never amount to anything. You don't really believe that, you know, and on and on and on. That's our family and friends. They'll assault us. Some of them. Some of us have family that will do that. If you don't, great. What's he say? He says, if our heart does not condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He's greater than our heart. Throughout this letter of 1 John, the Lord keeps saying, you going to preach on that this year? I don't know. That's so much. But throughout the letter of 1 John, there are things that are scattered there that are said by John to assure our hearts, to give us confidence. Because these are people who are under assault by distractors, by people that are disturbing them, of trying to shake their faith. And if we preached on this, we could get into all that. And scattered throughout this letter, he has things like this that you'll find, because you'll go home and read it now. You know, if you hold on to what you heard in the beginning, that these people became Christians from some message that they heard, you know, from the apostles and that day, you know, you got to hold on to what you heard in the beginning, because there are people that are disturbing what you heard in the beginning. You know, and you got to love each other, but not just love each other, not just love the brotherhood, that there's a marker that gives you confidence in your life that you love people. Because, you know, if you're born of God, you love. No one who does not love is born of God, for God is love. That's in here. One of the markers that can give you confidence in your life is that you were born of God and that you love. You know, that you practice righteousness, you'll find in there. That you are ones who do not go on sinning. I don't have time to preach on all this. You are ones who do not go on sinning. You've heard me say it many times. You have power over sin. You don't have to go on sinning. It does not. I know he says in there that if we sin, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us. But in the midst of this, he says, you don't have to be subject to that anymore. You don't have to be. I get tired of this music that we're constantly unworthy and sinful and on and on and on. I'm going to the other side, folks. I don't want to be sinning. I'm not subject to it. I know when I do it. A bad thought, or I was unkind to Cindy or something, you know. I did say happy birthday today to her.
Yeah, you did right away.
Right away, so that was good. That's a notch. I'm practicing righteousness, you know, in this sort of thing. You are people, he says, that knows the truth. You are people that do what pleases him. You are people that keep his commandments. You are people that abide in him. Whoever abides in him has confidence. I mean, he's saying to these people, you're all of this. That God is greater than your heart. And if your heart doesn't condemn you, you have this confidence. You have this confidence. That whatever you ask, you receive from him. And there's a big one here. You see, we don't have time to do it, but there's a big one. What's the verses? 26, chapter 2, 26 and 27. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. I told you, there are people that are trying to deceive them. We'd have to talk about those people and exactly what they're doing, you know, and that sort of thing to shake their faith. But he says, I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you received abides, that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. See, we'd have to. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. You see, as much as the world has picked on it, as much as we were raised with this thing, born again Christian, whatever, you know, the whole point is that you are a born again Christian. That's what we are. We're born again. And we've received an anointing from him. We received an anointing. And that anointing teaches us. We'd have to go in here. He's not saying you never need a teacher, but these people that are deceiving them, you know, they don't need those people to explain their anointing that they receive from God. And they're abiding in Jesus. You see, we are people. Brothers and sisters, we are people that have a special relationship to God. We are children of God. Not in the way that the world uses it, where everybody says we are a child of God. No, 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 no. Not everybody is a child of God in the sense that you and I are. Not everybody. Because we are people that have received him. He came to those who were his own, and his own didn't receive him. But to whoever did receive him, you could be a child. We should never dismiss that we have an anointing from God. We are very special people. We have more going for us than the people of the Old Testament or people that we read about who God specially used, like Elijah or whatever. We're different. We are children of promise. We are people of the new covenant. We are of the new covenant of his spirit. And it's no longer a deceitful heart that we have. He placed a new heart in us. We are people of a new heart. Born of the spirit of God. Who speaks to us if we're just aware and if we're just listening He speaks. I'm not strange. I do hear him every day. We have a conversation, not just in the morning in a secret place, but all day long. Yeah, he tells me to do some things, like today, you know, it's Cindy's birthday. You really ought to say happy birthday to her. You think I'm joking? I could easily ignore that. The old Jim, you know, that could care less. I tried to drag Bonnie up today. She should have come.
Yes, she should have.
She should have come. See, the Lord was telling her, but she didn't come. You have a new heart. You don't have a heart that condemns any longer. You have evidence working in your life that gives you confidence that God is there, that God hears, that God answers, and that our prayers makes things happen. That's confidence. And that's an element that makes prayer effective. And I can only encourage you. I know Jennifer's doing it. I can only encourage you. It's like she's my disciple. I can only encourage you. If it's not something I've given you to use, find something to use where you can write down what he tells you throughout the day and throughout the week. They're promptings. They're thoughts. There's things that you didn't think about early in the morning, but he brought it to mind. You write it down. You look back over it like I'll do it today, you know, tonight, this evening. I'll go back through the week. I'll record. I'll look at it. I go back through, you know, to see where's the thread of my petitions and my asking and my desires. What are the things God has been saying to me? How would I be able to remember that if I can't go back and see what that is that he's been saying? I take it seriously. I'm asking you to do it. And in any of these matters, as I said in the last sermon, if it doesn't make sense at the moment, talk it over with them. Just talk it over. Say, you know, this verse, Lord, you've sort of given me a blank check. And I lack a little confidence in that. And Jesus, I know what you said. I really need your help. Because I want to live that. I don't want to read it. I want to live it. Don't you want to live it? That's what it's about. It's about living it. May God bless your hearts and minds until we get to the next one. Thank you much.